Welcome to the Grow Your Practice podcast. Hi, I'm your host, Chad Madden, owner of Madden Physical Therapy and Breakthrough. Join me each week as we dive into the best practices, systems, principles, tips, and tricks to help you grow your private practice.
Hey everybody, Chad Madden here with the Grow Your Practice podcast. And have you ever wondered when you are running a marketing campaign, it doesn't really drive the results that you're looking for, but you've heard that somebody else has been successful with it. Another practice has had success. What's the difference between what they're doing and what you're doing? In this episode, I want to tackle this very common private practice problem. So several years ago, it's probably about 10 years ago now, the CEO and founder here of Breakthrough, Carl Mattiola, did a survey of private practice owners, I think it was around 300, and asked, what's the biggest mistake that you've made marketing your private practice? And then the follow-up question to that is, what's the most successful thing you've ever done? Oddly, the answer to both questions generated a list. So there were 30 or so unique answers to the biggest failure that the practice had ever done. And that list cumulatively matched the 30 or so items that were on the most successful thing ever done. So how can one practice owner succeed with a marketing method and another fail? And it took us a few months of looking at this, but eventually what happened is we realized that 100% of the answers that were in the survey that owners provided were media. And the issue is being relatively new to especially direct to consumer marketing. Most of us in private practice are not aware that there are more variables than just the media selected. So, you know, the most successful thing that we've ever done included billboards and swag, which stands for stuff we all get, like t-shirts and hats and Yeti coffee mugs and all that fun stuff. Online media, so Facebook, Instagram, Google ads, etc., patient newsletters, patient emailed campaigns, physician newsletters, physician lunches, they were all included on the successful list. That those same exact items were also on the most unsuccessful list, the biggest waste of time for private practices. So I want to again introduce a concept, a very basic marketing concept. Now, this is not new if you've been through any of the Breakthrough courses with us, whether it be Killer Marketing or the Patient Demand course, or now Profitability Under Pressure, our latest course. But it's one of the very first things that we share and teach. So whether we're trying to fill, you know, our clinicians' schedules, or whether we're trying to fill up the square footage that we have for our clinics, whether we're trying to change and influence payer mix, everything can be traced back to this number one principle for us in terms of marketing, and it's market message media match. So again, if you remember in the survey, 100% of owners only focused on success or failure. When thinking about success or failure in their marketing methods, they only focused on the media type that was used. What they did not think about was, did they select the right target market? Is that media type being used by the target market? Did I use the right messaging? Nobody said that. And again, that's pretty indicative of the lower levels of awareness that we tend to have as private practice owners when we're talking about marketing. So let's go over the market message media match triangle. These three things have to align in order for us to have success with our marketing efforts. So what are each of those components? So the first is your target market. This is the person who you're trying to target, who you're trying to market to, who's going to receive your message and act upon it. So, you know, the common pitfall here, the most common pitfall is, well, I'm a, you know, outpatient orthopedic physical therapist, and I don't really want to eliminate anybody. So therefore I can treat anybody. You know, I can treat the 15-year-old gymnast, I can treat the 73-year-old who has gait dysfunction and balance and dizziness issues, and vestibular problems. I can treat lymphedema. I can treat everything else in between because I just need to fill my schedule. Well, unfortunately, in marketing, marketing rewards specificity and it penalizes vagueness or generality. So very difficult to select the right media type and also have the right messaging if we're not being specific with our target market. So for our clinics, when and what we've built our practice upon is we very much focus on a specific demographic, and it's a 45 to 64 year old family oriented female. And what I mean by that is she's likely a wife or mother, perhaps even a grandmother. And why do we focus on that demographic? Well, number one, if she is college educated and 53 years old, or high school educated and is 48 years old, she's the number one consumer in the world. And it's, I believe I got that from Charles Duhigg book Habit. I believe the reference is correct there, but nonetheless, that very specific demographic is the number one consumer in the world. That means they direct more spending dollars than anybody else. And also here in the US, she also, if she's in that bracket, the demographic 45 to 64, she schedules approximately 70% of all medical and healthcare appointments. That includes dentistry, family physician, et cetera. So she's a consumer and she's really in control of the appointments. So she's not only scheduling appointments for herself, she's social. So she's sharing her wins with friends and family. She likely has, is more likely to have insurance. She's more likely to schedule for her spouse or partner, for her children, and also for even potentially her grandchildren or her own parents. So that is our target market. Now, how is that different? And you can do a quick compare and contrast. So, you know, if we wanted to reach, let's say, 12 to 18 year old baseball pitchers, that it would be a significantly different demographic in terms of the messaging that we're going to include. The language is very different. And also the media type that we're going to select, because a 13-year-old, or what I, let me think about what I have it. So for my 14-year-old son is going to consume different media than my 40-something-year-old wife, right? Different media, different message completely. So you get that. So the very first thing that we have to do is we need to select a target market. The next thing that we want to do is we want to consider the media that they're consuming. So market message media matches traditionally taught by Dan Kennedy. I'm sure he adapted it from somewhere. One of the classics, like scientific advertising or something similar. But nonetheless, the first leg is market. The second leg is media. And the media is how we're communicating with that target market. So online, this would include Facebook, Instagram, you know, the Meta family of products, the Alphabet family of products, which is primarily today Google search and YouTube. And, you know, could also include TikTok, or I saw somebody recently talk about advertising on Snapchat, which I haven't really seen work too well. But we have various media options. And then offline with legacy media, what's considered legacy media, we have some options there as well. And traditionally, they're going to be print ads, which would be like in a newspaper, or inserts, direct mail, TV, radio, and you could throw billboards in there also. So we have both online and offline media types, and we have a selection there. So when we're going into a new market, and for example, we just opened a de novo here this year, a few months ago, we did some research ahead of time. We understood exactly where our demographic lived and where she shops. So just think, at least for us in central Pennsylvania, where is our demographic shopping? She's going to Kohl's and Target. And we target the higher end grocery stores in our area. It's going to be like a Wegmans. She likely is going to Starbucks, and frequently those companies, Starbucks, Target, Kohl's, Hobby Lobby, et cetera, they have done a lot of research already. So we just piggyback on their research very easily online. We use a tool called Every Door Direct Mail from the United States Postal Service. You can go to that website. It's EDDM, stands for Every Door Direct Mail, and .USPS, United States Postal Service, .com. And there's a free tool there that you can use. And we can go through and see where our target demographic lives, what the household income is for the postal route on average. And then we cross compare that with where we believe that she's likely shopping. Now, why is that important? Because if you understand, Kohl's, Target, Bed Bath Beyond, et cetera, we know very quickly that they also use aggressive offline marketing and online marketing, right? So we can look at what media types are they using in the area to reach the same consumer we're trying to reach. And that gives us a very good idea of the media types that we should be on as well. So anytime that we open a new de novo clinic, we are, in the beginning, we're aiming to use one offline media. And typically it's like a weekly coupon-like type paper that is directly mailed out. And we do a simple insert in there. And then we use one online media, which classically for us has been Facebook. That may change over time, especially as the older generation continues to pile into TikTok and the advertising options are more and more robust there. But for now, it's usually Facebook and a weekly mailer. And then what happens is that as our marketing budget expands over time and we're seeing a greater volume of people in that area, then we add in the other types of media that are available that match up with what our market is consuming. So that's a brief overview on the media. And then the final thing that we want to, the final leg of the triangle that we want to address is the messaging. And this is where, as clinicians, we typically miss by a mile. And most, what's a good way to put this? I have seen a lot of clinicians miss the mark on, they're focused on professionalism as though they were marketing to other clinicians. And that is not, that's a miss, right? So we can't give our target market a doctorate degree through our marketing efforts. And there is an assumption that that is what, that is frequently what we're trying to do. We're trying to educate by the same means of which we went to the college and university and earned our degree and ultimately our license as well. And we use the same language. And it's a, again, gargantuan miss, and it can't be stressed enough. So the way that you can tap into the language that your target market is using is, right, you know, today it's reviews or we collect testimonials, written testimonials from our patients at any time that they have a win. So, and then what you'll see is if, for example, if I were writing a piece right now on knee pain, what we've done traditionally is I'll grab a stack of 40 or 50 knee pain testimonials, and those testimonials we give to patients at the last day, and we ask them to write about their PT story in their own terms and focus on what they could not do, what they had trouble doing before PT, and what they can do now. So it gives this really nice before and after type testimonial. And then what I'll do is I make copies of every testimonial, and then I go through with a highlighter and I look for key phrases. And I'll give you a couple of examples of those. So one, you and I as clinicians, if we were speaking to each other and we're talking about a patient, we're going to say something, you know, and we're talking about, let's go with knee pain. So we're talking about the ability to do stairs, and what we might say something around negotiating stairs or ascending, descending stairs. That is not the language that your average person uses, and you'll almost never see that written in a patient testimonial unless the patient themselves is a clinician. So having said that, you know, think about how patients really say that. And it's on a typically they'll write and think on a fifth grade so lay language is a fifth grade reading level. It's what most major newspapers were written in, right? So very basic lay language. And yeah, so, you know, even if the patient is an engineer or, you know, a rocket scientist, they're still going to communicate about whatever the problem is, knee pain in this case, on a fifth grade reading level, right? So anything above and beyond that, you're going to lose them and you're going to be speaking the wrong language. So we want to make sure that we're using lay language. And so that person is not going to say ascending, descending stairs. What they're going to say is doing stairs, right? I couldn't go up or down stairs, or I couldn't do the stairs. And that's what we noticed very quickly within the testimonials. The majority of people were saying doing stairs here in central Pennsylvania. So when we craft our marketing message for our marketing piece, we're saying things along the lines of doing stairs versus ascending, descending stairs. Some other examples include, I know in my early marketing efforts, some of our clinicians were upset about saying low back pain and were trying to correct it, or they wanted to write LBP, but the world typically doesn't know what capital L, capital B, capital P stands for. How do they say that? They say back pain or lower back pain, right? Not low back pain, lower back pain. That's another example. And you know, the same idea with rotator cuff. Most people aren't going to understand exactly what that means. They might, depending on what area of the country you're in, they might even say something like rotor cup, right? And I'm sure we've all had patients that have said that, especially if you're in an outpatient orthopedic setting. They're not going to say, you know, vestibular issue. They may recognize, you know, a balance, or more are more likely to say something along the lines of instead of vestibular, balance and dizziness problems. So again, think about the language that you're using. You want that to be lay language, and the best source of that lay language is from your patients, how they talk about their problems and ultimately your treatment as well. So that is the messaging. The other thing that I wanted to say in terms of pitfalls is you can easily make a mistake by using a media type in the wrong way. So a print ad, for example, we want to mimic the local ad or the surrounding text, right? So if we have, you know, just go through your local newspaper or coupon mailer and see what most advertisers do. They're going to have, you know, likely a big branded image. So they're going to focus more on branding than direct response. And what they will do is they'll have like two or three big bullet points, usually with a direct offer, right? Very low level of competency in terms of marketing. And the argument or the line of thought will be, well, people don't really take time to read. However, it's in a media type that people are taking the time to read, and they will read cover to cover, literally every word in the newspaper. So you want to think about the media type and how your market is using that media type. So if they're reading word to word, you know, if it's small font, we're going to match that font and we're going to have a long copy. And I'll give one anecdotal example here. We had a marketer years ago for a private practice who also had a side printing business, and her family did, and she had a designer in that printing business. And she said something along the line, you know, it was negative about our ad that we had been running for years. And she said, you know, I can't believe this ad works and you can't do better. You know, why are you not designing this? And she was talking about putting a lot of graphic design work in and our logo and, you know, better getting professional pictures done and photos and everything else. And I said, listen, here's what we'll do. We'll test. I will pay for a test. But how many people responded to our control, right? We're going to be scientific about this. And she had a number off the top of my head. Let's say it was 19 people responded to the ad in a given run. And then I said, okay, so then we'll test yours for the same time period and we'll compare the results. So she had her designer, and again, we paid for it, $500 or $1,000, whatever it was, to design the ad. And I paid for the run, the full run as well. And in the end, she had three bullet points. It was a message mismatch. That was an easy one. Had a ton of photos in it. I felt it was overly designed. Did not fit the rest of the paper. It wasn't a media type match in terms of how that media typically is consumed. And we ran it. And she was very pleased with how it looked. And I think was upset that I wasn't equally as pleased with how it looked. And I'm not looking for aesthetics. I can't really afford to do that as a practice owner. I'm more looking for the results. And what do you think the results were for that ad? Right? Same call to action, something around call our office. And the control yielded, which was hideous. I think that was her word, hideous. That had 19 callers. How many do you think the redesign ad had? The answer is zero. We did not have a single responder to that ad type. So moving forward, and I think she was convinced, but maybe bitterly convinced, and she's no longer with us, but you get the idea there. And it's easy for you and I as clinicians and as practice owners to fall for that type of media. And, you know, the aesthetic ad and the one that talks about clinical language, that feeds us, right? That's what you and I consume, you know, so something that highlights how great we are, or focuses on our likeness or our image and our degrees and our certifications and the unique quality of care that we're providing in the community, that really feeds us. Switch that to your customer, your ideal target market, and you're going to have significantly more success. So big takeaway here is that anytime that your marketing is not yielding the results that you're looking for, the first place you look for is that market message media match. And your questions, the litmus test, are, have you selected a specific target market, a specific person, or a narrow range of your area that you want to target, right? Who is it that you're trying to attract here? The second thing is the media type that you've selected, is it in alignment with what that target market is consuming? And are you using it in a way that target market is consuming? And then finally, is the messaging, is the language that you're using within the ad, does it match up with how your target market talks about the problem that you're trying to address? So anyhow, very much hope that you can take this key principle, this number one principle, apply it to your practice, ultimately attract more people anytime that you're investing in more market share in your private practice, and you're continuing to grow and serve more and better. Anyhow, this is Chad Madden with the Grow Your Practice podcast, and thank you so much for listening. We'll see you in the next episode.
What's your strategy for boosting your profit margins? In the current industry landscape, margins are slim due to declining reimbursements and the rising cost of doing business. Breakthrough has just released a new course, Profitability Under Pressure. This 13-week masterclass focuses on five key areas in your practice that can help you increase your profits. We'll guide you through creating a financial plan, which is a step overlooked by many other practices. You'll also learn how to renegotiate insurance contracts, evaluate whether cutting ties with lower payers is beneficial, and how to add cash pay services to improve your lifetime patient value. By the end of this course, you'll have improved control over your profit margins and a clear roadmap for future growth. This program is exclusively for private practice owners. You must apply to be accepted. No hops or pops practices. Click the link below to get started.
Remember to visit getbreakthrough.com to access our free resource library designed specifically for private practice growth. While you're there, make sure you register for a complimentary growth assessment to learn about potential opportunities for growth in your local market. Again, thank you for tuning into the Grow Your Practice podcast and supporting our mission to help people in pain get back to normal naturally.